from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the sixth day of October 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor will be here to look at the agricultural cash grain markets. We'll update the weather forecast with Mike Tenor of T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. And Dave Dickey will be here with a look at today's agricultural news on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org, on your mobile phone at m.willag.org, or just on your regular phone line at 217-333-3434. Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. The nearby contracts in the wheat down 9.25 cents for the December futures at $6.16. The March at 6.52 and a half, 7 and a half lower, and May at 6.77 and a quarter, down 8 cents. July of next year at $6.89, down 6 and 3 quarters. December corn unchanged at 6.05 and a half. The March at 6.18 and a quarter unchanged. May 6.25 and a half, a half lower. July down 3 quarters at 6.30, and September corn unchanged at 5.99 and a quarter for next year. December futures of 2012 at $5.75, a penny and 3 quarters higher. November beans were unchanged, $11.63 and 3 quarters at the end of the trade on a Thursday afternoon. January at $11.75 and 3 quarters, up a quarter. The March down a quarter, $11.85. May futures $11.93 and 3 quarters unchanged. July at $12.01 and 3 quarters, a half higher, and next year's November at $11.82 and 3 quarters, down 2 cents for the day. Bean meal at $2.99.70, $1.80 lower. Bean oil at $48.92, down 8 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures October contract, a $122.35 settlement price, down 45. December at $122.40. That finished 25 cents lower. October feeder cattle, $139.10, 25 cents lower. November at $141.57 and a half, down 17 and a half cents. And lean hog futures per 100 pounds finished the October contract at $94.75, $1.07 and a half higher. December at $89.22 and a half, up 80 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. November crude oil, $82.25 a barrel, up $2.50. Ethanol at $2.49 and 2 tenths, that's up 2 and 2 tenths. Natural gas, $3.59 and 9 tenths, 2 and 9 tenths higher. Diesel fuel or heating oil, $2.84 and 9 tenths of a cent, 7 and 3 tenths of a cent higher. And the gold futures on the afternoon, up $11.60 an ounce at $1,651.90. The Dow now stands at 11,053, just about 114 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 78.61, down 0.30 for the day. The CRB index at 304.75, that's up 5.9 on the day. The weather forecast says that the skies this afternoon will be sunny in the Urbana-Champaign area with a high near 84 degrees, south-southeast winds at about 10 miles an hour, though, gust all the way to 15 this afternoon. And then tonight, mostly clear skies, a low of 53 degrees, south-southeast winds at 8 miles an hour. On Friday, sunny skies, a high of 84, south winds at 7 to 14, gusting to 21. Friday night, clear, a low of 57. Wind out of the south at 7 to 10, and Saturday, the sunny skies will remain with a high of 85 degrees, south-southwest wind, 7 to 14 miles an hour, and gusting all the way to 17. Saturday night, mostly clear, a low of 55. On Sunday, skies will be sunny with a high of 83. Sunday night, mostly clear, a low of 53. And Monday, the start of the work week and Columbus Day, sunny and a high of 81 degrees. On Monday night, clear, a low of 55. Tuesday, sunny and 79. Tuesday night, cloudy and 56. And on Wednesday, a chance of showers, partly sunny, and a high near 77 degrees. A more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast closer to the bottom of the half hour when we talk with Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather. He's in Chicago, Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers, I bet, have been calling you and asking plenty of questions about when the market might turn around, and they'd like to see a bottom sooner rather than later. What can you tell them?
I think keep an eye on the dollar. The dollar has been basically in a strong up move basically since the Farm Progress Show, basically when the commodity markets basically started their descent. The dollar daily dollar index has three drives to the top. It has a 3-point bearish divergence on a 9-day and RSI and a 14-day stochastic indicator. So it kind of indicates that maybe this recent round of price strength that we've had in the dollar is about ready to give up, or the euro is going to rally. Maybe the European news is going to get behind us for a little bit anyway. So I think if the dollar breaks and it's set up to break, I think that could help us out over here in the ag commodity complex. You can kind of see, I know the ags here, corn, soybeans, kind of finished unchanged after a mostly higher session, which probably technically teases up for a softer open in the overnight trade, but we'll have to see how much follow-through we get from that point. But the markets that are still trading, you can see crude oil futures are up about 2.5. Natural gas has made a nice reversal here today. You got gold futures up about $13. So I think the weakness in the dollar could help them out anyway in maybe getting some kind of October rally going here in the ag commodities.
On the weekly chart for the harvest month, there is a low back in June, the end of June, which was pretty much met in the recent low, and we have bounced since then. Is that very important to you technically?
Well, what's more important to me on the technical front here on corn is that, of course, we don't know what Friday brings, and with basically good weather, we could see some hedge pressure. But up to this point, hedge pressure has not been much of a factor in the marketplace. But December corn is ripe to close out the week with a hook reversal to the upside. Now, that just means that we took out last week's low, and we're closing higher for the week. We haven't been able to take out last week's high to really solidify a major reversal, but this is going to be a hook reversal up. I think if you would see some follow-through next week and maybe a penetration and close above 621, I think that would be a big step technically in solidifying an early October price low. And if you look at average seasonal pattern for December corn futures, they have a strong tendency to put in some kind of low during the first week of October, have a recovery rally, and then then kind of settles back toward that low again as you go into the December delivery period. But you got to keep in mind averages are averages, but so far it seems to be wanting to follow that average seasonal tendency to kind of bounce out of an early October low.
Would your watching and work with the dollar suggest that this seasonal pattern will manage its way through this process in October, November, and December?
I think they go hand in hand. That's why I think it's the dollar, if it breaks, I think you will see commodities basically rally in front of that. You can pretty well lay them on top of one another, and whatever direction the dollar is going, commodities are going to go opposite. So if this current run of dollar strength has come to an end, and we have a pretty good setback, then that will help fluff up the ag commodities.
And we've been seeing exports for both corn and wheat in the recent week?
Well, we did see a good sales number for corn today. We did go over the million-ton mark. We had right at 50 million bushels. That's the best of the marketing year, and it's twice what we need to do to meet USDA's projections. So You know, we started the season running about 9% behind a year ago. With today's good numbers, we've dropped that back to only 5% below a year ago's pace. So that is, I think, at least supportive that the recent break in prices has stimulated some export activity. The soybean number wasn't as high as last week, but it was a number above what we need to do to meet USA's projections. And there's been a little more active interest, I think, in beans over the past few days. A lot of inquiries that maybe that we may see a little pickup in soybean demand sales next week.
November beans had a unique close today and trade an outside unchanged day. What does that mean? Anything?
Well, the way it closed as in corn, when you close toward the bottom end of the range or at the low end of the range, that kind of tees you up for a softer open on the next session. So it wouldn't be surprising to see the overnight start lower. I'm not too sure it's a real decisive bearish close, but beans have not done as much on the upside as corn has, as corn had a nice, you know, reversal, slightly higher close there on Monday, then had an inside day on Tuesday, and then had a big up day yesterday, so we're ahead for the week. Beans were just not ahead for the week, but it doesn't mean that a good day tomorrow couldn't get it ahead for the week. But beans just seem to be struggling, and I think basically what it is we have more bean harvest going on. A lot of guys switched over to soybeans in this nice weather and letting corn dry down. So we've seen an awful lot of bean harvest, and I think that is what kind of weighs on this market, especially here going into the close.
And then the chart itself is much uglier, I think, subjectively speaking, I suppose, than what the corn chart is.
Well, it's not as promising, but we did, you know, go down to this, you know, 50-cent piece and found support at 1250. I mean, beans kind of have a tendency to move in 50-cent increments. There is a bullish divergence formation possibly developing in beans that could stir up a short covering rally. Time-wise, again, this is when you stack up 30 years worth of November futures and add them and divide them up. By 30, the first week of October is an average time frame for beans to make a low from that point of view. So we are in a time window to maybe get a kick up to the upside. Also, the 8 to 9 week cycle that I've followed for years is in a time window. So from a timing point of view, there's hope. But we're going to have to see some demand come in here, then we'll have to get through the October crop report next week to see whether or not we can put in a normal seasonal October low.
Anything else that we should be watching technically?
I think that's about it. Keep an eye on the dollar, you know, if that begins to break, that should lend some support to commodity prices, and that could kick up a some form of recovery rally, and then we'll just kind of take, you know, 1 week at a time to see how much, how strong that is. If it turns into a monthly reversal up, which would be a strong sign that maybe we could have a November-December rally.
Thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on this Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason, and I'd like to take a personal moment here. It's pretty likely you already know the CEO of Apple, Steve Jobs, passed away yesterday. You may be wondering why it has been so widely publicized. One word, iPhone. But that's not really it. So let me tell you, about how Steve Jobs and his company, Apple, influenced me. Now, first, I didn't know him, but every workday since February of 1995, I've used an Apple computer. They just work, and they just work really well to produce radio and television. For instance, I wanted to get this just right, so my voice is not live. It was recorded on a MacBook Pro. That's a laptop, which brings me to point two. I've been using Apple laptops since 1996. It freed me from the studio and the desk. Steve Jobs and the University of Illinois let me put my kids on the bus in the morning and sometimes be there in the afternoon when they got off because the technology just worked. It was Apple technology that made sure I could be a family man as if I were still on the farm. The kids could watch me work, and they've learned from it. Apple and the mere fact that I'm lucky enough to work on the campus, which houses the National Center for Supercomputing, that means our internet has always been really good, let my office, News and Public Affairs in the Agricultural College, lead farm broadcasters on the technology front. I spent several years teaching them in November at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting how to use and move communication through and with technology, always on my Apple computer. Just this month, I used a piece of Apple software to make a website I hope you really like, and that might make your world better. That mobile website, m.willag.org, that we talk about on the air all the time, I made it. And I don't know a thing about coding a website. What I do know is that things should be beautiful and easy to use, and they should just work and form and function. That's what Steve Jobs taught me over the decades of watching him and using Apple products. It just works beautifully.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Visit us online at willag.org or at that m.willag.org mobile website. And always you can call 217-333-3434 with updates at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. Now here's Dave with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a U.S. congressional committee yesterday strongly backed deals with South Korea, Colombia, and Panama, setting them on course for expected final approval and ending years of trade policy paralysis. The three PACs are expected to boost U.S. exports by about $13 billion a year. The congressional action follows years of delay during which the European Union, Canada, and the three potential new U.S. free trade partners themselves have all moved aggressively to strike new market-opening PACs. The three PACs must be approved by the full House and the Senate to become law. Corn stocks-to-use ratios would be used to reduce or eliminate the renewable fuels standard under legislation championed yesterday by livestock groups. Representatives Bob Goodlatte, a Republican from Virginia, and Jim Costa, a Democrat from California, introduced the Renewable Fuels Standard Flexibility Act. The bill would reduce or eliminate the volumes of renewable fuel use required by the Renewable Fuels Standard based upon corn-to-stocks use ratios. Livestock groups have raised concerns about the impact tight feed supplies and high feed prices, partially because of the RFS, have had on livestock and poultry producers. The bill comes a day after the National Research Council issued a comprehensive 650-page report examining biofuels. Scientists concluded the country would not be able to meet the congressional mandate to produce 16 billion gallons of cellulosic biofuels for the national fuel supply by 2022. The Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations has postponed an upcoming hearing on position limits, at which Commodity Futures Trading Commission Chairman Gary Gensler was to testify. The subcommittee said the scheduled Thursday hearing would be moved to November 3rd. Subcommittee Chairman Senator Carl Levin, a Democrat from Michigan, has been pressing the CFTC to resolve the ongoing position limits debate with strong action to limit the holdings of speculative investors. World food prices fell 2% in September for the third consecutive month as improving supply prospects pushed prices lower across the board. The Food and Agriculture Organization's Food Price Index, which measures the monthly change in international prices of a basket of food commodities, averaged 225 points last month, down 4.5 points from August. Still, that's only 13 points below the record peak reached in February and higher than last year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Usually we talk with Matt Bennett. He's at Windsor Grain and TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Matt, of course, busy this afternoon, and I think probably out on the site there at the elevator, not available to talk to us about the cash grain market. But I do have some interesting things that I had a discussion with a few folks from Kraft last night as we were watching the Alison Krauss event right here in Champaign. It was a magnificent event. Did you know, for instance, that the plant here in Champaign, Illinois, which is one of the largest food production plants on the planet, it's either the first or second, depending on how you manage to put those numbers out. I think around 2.3 billion pounds worth of product go through that plant, uses, get this, 42 semi-loads of soybeans a day. 42 semi-loads of soybeans a day running through that plant right here in Urbana-Champaign. You wonder how some of these products that are coming off of the crops, that are coming off the farmland around the Midwest are used. That's one of the ways that in another form you could say is a mile wide and all the way to Washington, D.C., or about 1,100 miles long, 640,000 acres. That's actually 1,000 miles, but something along those lines. So an enormous amount of product that's coming off of the farmland, going straight into plants like those right here in Urbana-Champaign to produce all kinds of products that you might find on your shelves. It's an important distinction probably that most folks don't get, that there is sort of still a direct link from the farmer to the plate. It goes through some processing along the way, but it's not all that far from what's happening in the field in the combine right now today to the plate that you might sit down to at lunch yet this evening or this afternoon and supper this evening. Hey, in just a couple minutes, I'll come back and we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast. I know for a fact that Mike Tenora will be here from T-Storm Weather to talk to us. For some of our radio stations, we will say so long right now. For the rest of you, stay with us, and we'll be back in just 2 minutes.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Noodle Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1790, Jacob Schwepp demonstrated his process for making artificial mineral water. A German silversmith, he promoted Joseph Black's process of creating carbonic acid gas by combining chalk with sulfuric acid and then adding the gas to water under pressure. Artificial mineral waters were thought to have medicinal properties. It was not until the 1800s that CO2 was used for soft drinks like ginger ale and Coca-Cola. In 1893, cream of wheat was developed by Nabisco Foods. Millers in North Dakota, battling an economic depression, were looking to revive their business. The head miller, Thomas Admaden, convinced his partners to make a porridge out of farina, and cream of wheat was born. In 1851, Will Keith Kellogg died. He founded the Battle Creek Toasted Corn Flake Company to manufacture cereals developed by his brother, John Harvey Kellogg. And in 1997, prions were discovered. They were called an entirely new gene of disease-causing agents. Prions have been identified as a cause of mad cow disease. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois, is on the phone line to take up the forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Mike, let's start with the rainfall that looks like it's coming into those parched areas of the Western Plains and the Southwest, where they still really need to get their hard red winter wheat crop off to a good start. Will they get enough?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, because we do have a pretty serious situation developing or underway in Oklahoma and Texas. If you look at their winter wheat planting progress, they're running way behind schedule. Oklahoma is 19 points behind the five-year average as far as winter wheat planting, and Texas is 24 points behind schedule. So they need rain, because the reason they're not planting is simply because it's not raining. If you take a look at how dry it's been, 18% of the U.S. hard red winter wheat crop, which is all the wheat grown in the plains, received less than 3 inches of rain over the last 90 days. So we're talking about an exceptional drought across this area. So what we need to happen is to have a whole bunch of rain, get things planted, get the crop emerging, and then have a nice period of weather as we move into the late fall. So what's happening right now is that there's a major storm system out in the Rockies that is moving toward the plains, and what is going to happen is that rain will start to break out across the plains, especially tomorrow afternoon and then into Saturday and Sunday. So that should change the entire hard red winter wheat dynamic the way it looks right now, because we're talking about 1 to 2 inches of rain across a large area. To put that in perspective, Dodge City, Kansas, in western Kansas, only averages around 1.5 inches of rain for the entire month of October. So we're talking about a month's worth of rain in about 3 to 4 days. And not only that, keep in mind, these areas had less than 3 inches over the last 90 days. So this is exactly what they need to improve soil moisture out there for planting. The big question is now, what happens next? Does this change everything? Does everything magically improve? We don't think so, because rainfall deficits are so huge. But, I mean, this is pretty much what you need right now. This is a step in the right direction.
When you look further out, and you don't think so, but when you look further out, do they go back into a dry pattern? And can you have some guesstimates on whether they this one rainfall event is really changing the whole ecology of what's been happening in that area?
It's hard to say that this is the beginning of a major pattern change, because next week we go right back to the same type of weather pattern where it's been warm and dry, which is actually going to be good for the first time in a long time, because that will help people to plant after all this rain. But at this point, it's real tough to say that this is the end of the drought or anything along those lines, because we really need 3 or 4 of these types of events over the next month or two to say that. So, you know, definitely a step in the right direction, but I wouldn't say that this is the end of the drought by any means.
And then turn your attention right here to the Midwest very quickly, a forecast for the next 3 to 5 days.
Well, the best news for Illinois and pretty much everyone near Illinois is that it stays dry. So we're looking at near ideal conditions for corn and soybean harvesting and also soft red winter wheat planting. So if you're a farmer in the Midwest, you're looking great.
Mike Tenora is with T-Storm Weather. He's in Chicago, Illinois. That wraps up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Stay safe. I'm Todd Gleason.